see how we get this going. Good morning. I'm Jeanette Berkeley Patton, and I'm here from the University of Missouri at Kansas City. And what I'll be sharing with you today is some of the things that we're learning in developing and implementing a church-based HIV education and prevention toolkit that's been designed specifically for African-American churches and our Taking It to the Pews project. And I have no relationships to disclose. And I'd just like to take a moment to recognize some of our many collaborators for this project, because it's truly a team effort. And first of all, Calvary Community Outreach Network, who has been so instrumental in making this happen, with the incredible leadership of Reverend Eric Williams and Carol Bo Thompson, who's here. Can you wave, Carol? And all of our ministers in Kansas City, but particularly Reverends Davis, Gilmore, and Prim, who were some of the first ministers to step up to the plate and really help us in piloting the Taking It to the Pews project. And also Sandy Wainwright, who's with Calvary Community Outreach Network, and she's pretty much the foot soldier that continues all the contact and emails and phone calls to our churches to make sure that we're moving along together, as well as one of my colleagues at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, Andrea Bradley Ewing, who may be even having a baby today, for all of her efforts in helping to develop tools and help us in training our churches with the TIPS project and all of our AIDS service organizations in the Kansas City area. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the background of HIV in African Americans, because we pretty much know these numbers. We know the burden of HIV infection on African Americans in this country, and that for the most part, even though the numbers have been recently updated from CDC, that African Americans make up about almost 50% of the new HIV infections, even though we make up only about 12 to 13% of the U.S. population. And that not only do African Americans tend to progress to an AIDS diagnosis more quickly than whites, but also die sooner than whites due to AIDS complications. So as we, you know, continue to struggle with how do we address this HIV burden in the African American community, we need to continue to come up with new strategies to increase the reach of HIV prevention and education and screening interventions with not just those African Americans who are greatly at risk, but I believe with all African Americans. And one way that we can do that is through the African American church. And we know that there's been lots of studies in medical settings and school settings and even community outreach settings. And yet and still, there's been very little reported in the literature on HIV prevention or interventions in African American churches. And we know that many churches across the country are just quietly addressing this problem in the ways that they best can and dealing with many of the controversial issues that come along with addressing HIV, like sex and sexuality and homosexuality and condom use, but yet and still we don't have a lot of information in the literature. And so we were really trying to understand how can we best do HIV interventions in African American churches, especially when we know that the African American church is a powerful institution and a longstanding institution in the black community, as well as the fact that African Americans tend to be regular churchgoers. Studies show that African Americans attend church at least about once a month. About 40 to 60% of blacks do across the country, depending on which parts of the country you're in. And then also that black churches tend to have a diverse range of members, from the smallest baby to the oldest member. It's one of the few places that you can go, and the poorest of the poor can sit on the pew next to the richest of the rich, because there are no VIP sections. And also, black churches have many things in common, like the fundamental belief of using biblical scripture as a way to operate, as well as very similar expressions of worship, like singing and praying and preaching and testimonies. And all of these different activities could be used as ways to implement different types of HIV interventions. And we also know that for the most part, African American churches fill a large gap where social services are limited in providing things like food and clothing and even setting up benevolent funds so that their members in church community and church members and community members can come out and get resources to do things like pay their bills and even put gas in their cars. So another reason why we should consider developing more HIV interventions in black churches is the fact that in most urban communities, I mean, there's a dense population of black churches. My father used to say that when you go into the hood, on every other street corner, there's either a liquor store or a church. And we will probably find that to be the case in many communities. And Kansas City is no different. Within a one radius mile of 64130, which is the most inner city zip code in Kansas City, Missouri, and in the African American community, there are over 312 churches. So that's an incredible opportunity to do something about HIV and AIDS. So just as some contextual background, Kansas City has been very active through its Black Church Week of Prayer for the Healing of AIDS in addressing HIV and AIDS in African American churches. And through its long time experience in doing Week of Prayer events, we've managed to develop lots of really good, strong relationships with AIDS service organizations, community-based organizations, and our academic partners. But for all of the work that's been done in Kansas City for over the last decade, time and time again, we would go to our churches to make commitments to do even further work within their own congregations. And would come back to them and follow up assessments and say, well, what have you been able to do? And time again, they would say, well, we really weren't able to do anything because we really don't have the resources, we don't have the training, we don't have the skills, and we don't have the tools to really address this well with our churches. So with that feedback, we decided that we would conduct a survey to try to understand better what are the capacities in our African-American churches in Kansas City to address HIV and AIDS. And we surveyed 131 churches and did that through various types of conference settings over a two-year period. And what we found was that most of the churches do teach their members about sexual behavior, particularly their adolescent members. And almost half of them have been involved in some type of HIV education or prevention activity. And we were kind of surprised to see that almost one in five of the churches that were represented had been involved in HIV testing events. But we weren't surprised at the fact that about 6% had been involved with condom distribution. But we also wanted to understand more from our churches on what kinds of infrastructure characteristics did they have within their memberships. And we weren't surprised to find, I mean, many of us who attend churches know that there are regular Sunday services, there are regular midweek Bible studies, that there are many, many ministries that address youth and outreach missions types of things. And that also there are outreach programs that address things like food programs and clothing programs and after-school programs and daycares. So in thinking about the findings from this survey, we began to consider an ecological model that really could dovetail on some of these activities that are taking place regularly in Black churches. And so I'm sorry that this is a very busy slide, but we begin to think about what could we do at a church-wide level, what could we do at a group level, an individual level, and a community and systems level to really take tools, pre-developed tools, and lay them on top of the existing activities in churches so that it's not one more thing. Because as in most churches, everybody's stressed and strapped to do so many other things that the church is burdened with. So we really wanted to create tools that would fit neatly within what already happens in African American churches. So things like sermons and responsive readings and discussions and bulletins and those kinds of things. So from these findings, what we did was to begin to develop our Taking It to the Pews toolkit. And in developing the tools, we really wanted them to be culturally and religiously sensitive. So we engaged the help of pastors to help us to create just about all of the tools. And the tools, again, were designed to be compatible with the existing activities in the African American church, as well as to be easy in implementation. Again, we didn't want to burden churches with doing another standalone type program. And we also wanted the tools to be low cost because we were trying to think forward and think about sustainability. And we know that many times once grant funding ends, the projects die. And so we really wanted to be able to create a toolkit that could sustain itself over time. And then we packaged all of these tools in our HIV Prevention, Compassion, and Action Toolkit. So here you can see a list of some of the tools that we have in our toolkit, everything from a sermon guide and pastoral observation, a responsive reading, educational games, a Wheel of Fortune, an HIV Jeopardy game, posters, bulletins, fact sheets, and many different things. And I'll just I'll show you a sample of some of those in just a little bit. But with our toolkit developed, It was time to launch our project. And we came together and thought the best way to really recruit churches into our TIPS project was to develop a conference where we can pull churches together and try to increase their capacity to deliver HIV and other type of health ministries. And to do that, we brought in nationally recognized speakers. That's Pernessa Seal, who came to one of our first conferences from the Bomb of Gilead. And we also provided capacity-building workshops, workshops like strategic planning and how do you get a 501c3 developed and how do you do grant writing and research. So workshops that went beyond just HIV but could really help strengthen their health ministries. But we also used this as an opportunity to demonstrate our toolkit with our conference attendees and really show all the benefits of using the toolkit. And then again, we use that as a way to commit churches to participate in TIPS. So in looking at our implementation, we did a pilot about 18 months ago with a couple of churches, but in the last year we've had 12 churches that have been actively involved with our toolkit implementation. And the churches sign up by completing a memorandum of agreement where they, you know, commit to implementing a couple of tools per month. And they also commit to being a part of the evaluation process at different levels. And we provide our churches with stipends from $700 up to $2,500, depending on how engaged they are with the project. And, excuse me, as much as possible, we celebrate everything that they do all along the way. So here's a copy of our responsive reading, and Carol's going to pass a copy around. You can see it's in a call and response type format. And then here is a sample of that being read. Can you guys hear that? I don't know how to turn up the volume. Can't hear it in the back. Talked about the kids running around. I'm going to move forward because my time is running short. But you can see that they're very passionate about this, and they're not afraid to approach some of the really sensitive issues. And our evaluation is conducted at two different levels. One level is with our church leaders, our TIPS church leaders, where they participated in focus groups, and they also provide us with quarterly TIPS implementation data. And then at the second level, we've surveyed the church members from the TIPS churches. 45 members have been surveyed, and I'll report on 211 of those. And as much as possible, we provide feedback on what we're learning to our TIPS churches and their congregations. But just a quick summary of the focus group findings. Overall, everyone has said the TIPS tools are so easy to use, they can't understand why more churches aren't doing it, as well as the fact that their members continue to say, you know, it's about time that the black church is involved in this issue. And then from some suggestions that our TIPS leaders have provided, they really suggest that we focus more on young people. Our project primarily targets adults. And to include more materials on abstinence and condom use, because we have a couple of churches that just aren't ready to talk about condom use, and that we need to continue to address HIV stigma in subjects like sex communication and premarital sex. So real quickly here, you can see how the tools have been implemented. For the most part, brochures are some of the most implemented tools from our kit. But you can also see that pastors are highly involved delivering sermons and pastoral observations, as well as leading responsive readings. And so most of these activities here are occurring in the Sunday morning service. And then we have a lot of more passive tools that get used quite a bit, like posters and bulletin boards and resource tables. And then just real quick on our belief survey, which is our respondents were primarily females. Almost half of them were married. Many of them were longtime members of the church, and for the most part attend church quite frequently, with 57% attending church at least more than once a week. And so here are our preliminary findings, which lay nicely on top of what our church liaisons have reported, and that members are highly exposed to the printed materials, to the sermons and the responsive readings, as well as some of the passive information like the bulletin boards. And then some other preliminary findings that our church members have said that they strongly believe that the church should be involved in discussing HIV issues and providing HIV screening. And when we looked at who's providing support for our members to get tested for HIV, significantly more church members were providing support than family members or friends. And then, again, stigma continues to be a big issue that we really need to address. So some conclusions here, we really find that church leaders can serve effectively as interventionists in delivering an HIV intervention, and that our pre-developed tools have really helped to assist them in delivering this intervention with their members, and that we can achieve a good balance between researcher control and empowering churches to do this work. And again, that while this work moves forward, we still need to address issues like stigma and sex, and talking about sex and homosexuality and condom use. And there's some of our tips, pastors. Thank you.
I'm afraid we don't have time for questions for the speaker, but there will be time at the very end. I'd like to introduce Dr. Jessica Sales to do our next presentation.